Sounds a little corny, but I like to think about it like now, about how often it is that folks of color in particular are in leadership positions in organizations, and they may find themselves being maybe the first or the only person of color in leadership in these organizations, or find themselves like now in this current climate, Mike, with an organization that is putting out statements about Black Lives Matter. And they're looking around the organization and say, now we matter.
Welcome to the No More Reasonable Doubt podcast. In season two of this podcast, it's made to help Black professionals start passion projects so they can expand their impact in the world and at work. In each episode, you can expect an interview with a Black professional who has a 9-to-5 just like you. And they've also launched a passion project into this world. You'll also get episodes with specific topics and lessons to help you move that passion project forward. I'm your host and fellow passion project starter, Mike Ambassador Bruni. Let's start the show. Welcome to another episode of No More Reasonable Doubt. Today, our special guest is Kim Monique Johnson. Welcome, Kim Monique.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I feel so welcome.
I am glad. For the people who don't know, which most don't, it's been like 8 years since you and I have had a conversation, and I'm honored to have you here today to learn more about your purpose and passion project. Before we get into that, one question I'd like to ask is, what do you currently do for full-time work?
Yeah, full-time work. I am a senior consultant for a nonprofit consulting firm in New York City. We serve nonprofits actually throughout the country, but primarily in the tri-state area, helping nonprofits with things like leadership development, strategic planning, just basically helping mission-driven organizations be sustainable. Yeah.
Talk to us about your purpose or passion project and how long it's been in existence.
Wow. You know, it's been over 20 years, Mike. And the passion that I have is so much around helping leaders like myself in nonprofits be the best that they can be. Sounds a little corny, but I like to think about it like now, about how often it is that folks of color in particular are in leadership positions in organizations, and they may find themselves being maybe the first or the only person of color in leadership in these organizations, or find themselves like now in this current climate, Mike, with an organization that is putting out statements about Black Lives Matter, and they're looking around the organization and say, now we matter, you know, or they're looking around and saying, this is great for the organization to say this to the world externally, but internally, right? I look around and I'm not feeling that kind of love. So my passion is to support folks of color who are leaders in these organizations, feel centered and feel capable and feel like they can give themselves a self-compassion and self-care as they represent in these organizations.
Now, does that passion or purpose project, does that show up? What containers does that show up in? Is it, you know, are you a writer, a coach, a speaker? How does it show up?
Yeah, it's a great question, right? It's so funny because it's transitioned over time. It used to show up as a consultant, right? So again, I work as a full-time consultant now. It used to show up as a passion project for me as a consultant, going in and doing leadership development, doing trainings, we used to call it, cultural competence training, we used to call it back then, right? And now it shows up for me as a coach. Because now I'm much more connected to what does the individual person need? You know, what does that person, again, that leader, that person who is looking around the organization and just wondering, how do I show up as my true self, right? How do I show up with all of my identities, right? And that came to me actually because my background, my training is in social work, Mike, and I actually did not want to become a therapist. I was like, no, I'm going to do the organizational development route. But the more I did the OD route, the organizational development route, the more I found myself being one of those first and onlys. You know, I found myself being in a leadership position and looking around where no one looked like me. And I was struggling and I wondered, like, okay, is this really for me? And so when a coach approached me to give me support, I said, oh, this is where I want to be. This is the container, as you say, that I want to hold for people. So I became a certified coach.
Wow. Now, you may have answered my next question, mm-hmm. but if there's anything, any additional information you want to add on to it, mm-hmm. I want to give space for it. Sure. The question I usually ask is, what is your project's origin story? I've been watching a lot of superhero movies during the pandemic.
Right.
And I know there's an origin story. Is there anything, is there any additional information you'd like to add mm-hmm. to that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the origin is similar to what I was sharing around me recognizing what I needed when I was in those positions, right? When I was in an organization as a director, when I was promoted to be a VP, when I was promoted to be the chief human resources officer for a very large nonprofit. And I was struggling, feeling like that, you've heard the term imposter syndrome. Right? Like, do I really belong here? Do they get me? How can I make my voice heard? Am I going to appear, seem like, you know, the angry Black woman, right? How do I talk about my identity as a lesbian as well? And how do people like, you know, see this as not as in conflict with talking about my Blackness as we advocate for racial equity? All that was swirling around for me. So that was my origin when one day I actually was graced with a Black woman coach who said, I see you. You know, and I see that, you know, you're struggling. And so how can I help you? And then she asked me the magic question, Mike. She said, you're here in this position and your role is to be of service to others. But what do you want? What do you want? And I was like, wow, I get to think about what I want. You know, I get to think about what I need and how I can best show up for myself. And so that's the origin for me, that having that moment sparked something in me that I am so passionate by wanting to be that support for someone else.
Mm-hmm. I hear. First of all, I want to acknowledge that there's something about what you said. It felt like it needs space. Like it needed a pause. I was about to jump this off, but it needed a pause. Like it not only like needed, but it deserved a pause. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I heard scratching your own itch.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the, oh, snap, I get, oh, wait, what I want matters too.
Yeah, right, right.
Mm-hmm. And I was really connecting to the swirl as you talk about it, like all the internal stuff that goes on, right? And it's internal.
Yes.
It's internal. So mm-hmm. no one necessarily knows. Mm-hmm. But it impacts.
Yes.
It impacts. It can be a split second hesitation or mm-hmm. just a moment longer mm-hmm. to just focus on the work because this is part of the work.
Yes.
But that company's work, you know?
Right.
So thank you for sharing that with us. Mm-hmm. Now, okay. So you decided that there's this coaching that you want to do.
Yes.
Is there a point where you hesitated to start
mm-hmm.
and what got you over the hump?
It goes back to me running away from being a therapist. The hesitation was I didn't know what coaching was, you know, and what I thought I knew, I connected it to kind of like therapy, right? I was like, oh, coaching is like therapy for professionals. And I don't want to be a therapist. I don't want someone to like give me all that power to quote fix them, right? I had complete misunderstanding of what coaching offers. So that was my hesitation. I was not clear on what coaching could offer. And then I knew that I needed to get more information. I needed to get out of my own head, right? So what did I do? I got a coach. And so someone that you know as well, Desiree Attaway, she would help me get over the hump, Mike, is that she said, you know, some of the stress that you're feeling, some of the anxiety you're feeling about, you know, how to get over the hump, what to do, what not to do, has a lot to do with having an overactive mind and an underactive body.
Say more about that because,
whoa,
are we talking about you not doing enough exercise or is it something else?
Right.
Is it something else? It feels like there's something else there.
It's something else. And I wish I could find the actual author of the quote, but because Desiree told it to me, I'm going to give her the credit, right? It had to do with me, again, being in my head, thinking about, you know, what I wanted to do, not sure I could do, Do I know enough about what I want to do? How do I do? I was thinking about the do, but I wasn't doing the do. You know what I mean? I wasn't underactive body. I wasn't putting things in motion. I wasn't taking steps. So the only way to get over the hump was to actually do the thing, do the work. She just kept telling me, Kim, you got to do the work, right? And so slowly but surely, I've been taking those steps, one action at a time, right? One certification at a time, one client at a time, one project at a time, one website, and then another website, whatever it is, right? It's just getting out of my head and doing the do.
Thank you for that clarification. Mm-hmm. And just for the record, we/I love Desiree Attaway. I know her as, every time I think about Desiree, I just remember her telling me, I'm a grown ass woman. as well as, oh, you don't have to move. You can stay stuck if you want.
Right.
You can stay right there if you want.
Exactly.
You can stay right there if you want. But
yes.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. So one of the biggest challenges is, as I have been kind of doing this research and doing the do around passion and purpose projects, is how do you find the time?
Yes.
To do this when you have a full-time work, you may have other volunteer commitments, you may have family commitments. Mm-hmm. How did you find the time, or how did you make the time?
Right. Yep.
To do the do.
Yep. That's really what it is. It's a choice, right? It's making the time, because we all get the same 24 hours in a day, right? No one gets more time than anyone else. It's the choices that I needed to make. So I've been inspired by Toni Morrison, you know, who talked about, you know, getting up at 5 a.m. and writing, right? So it's early morning time, Mike. It's getting up extra early. And I have to say, right, sometimes it's my mind gets me up anyway. So I'm awake thinking about things. So it's about getting my body in motion, getting up out of bed early and doing what I need to do before I start my full-time gig at 9, right? So those are my hours in the morning. Sometimes, as you know, it could be easily going into late night. And that's the thing. When there's something you're passionate about, this gift of being of service with others, right? To be in that space where I'm connecting with someone, much like what I needed when I was in that position, then it's a flow, right? So I'm up late at night and I may get tired, but it gives me that energy. It gives me that juice, right? To do that work. Sometimes it's weekends. Sometimes it's making the sacrifice of what TV show or what basketball game I'm not going to get to watch because, you know, I'm working in my passion.
And you touched this a little bit here. You know, time is one thing, but the other thing is energy.
Mm-hmm.
How, or you mentioned that it sounds like the project itself was enough to give you energy, but I'm going to ask the question anyway.
Sure.
What can you share with the listeners about how you found the energy after, after working 9 to 5, I throw that in air quotes.
Yes.
You know, do you have any techniques for transition or had any techniques? Of course, the pandemic is such a unique situation.
Right.
But do you have any techniques or things that you've done in order to help shift and give yourself a boost of energy?
So I'll start with the current, right? And the current is, you know, being in this pandemic. And so, you know, quite literally, one of the advantages is, I'm working from home, right? And so I have a real different opportunity to be able to take breaks much differently than I could if I was going into the office, right? So I can kind of manage my energy between work assignments and meetings by literally shutting down my computer, right? Leaving my house, going for a walk, right? Coming back, then going into that meeting. You know what I mean? So throughout the day, Mike, I'm able to conserve my energy much differently than I could when I was going into the office, quote, 9 to 5. So I take those kinds of breaks. Other things is that building in self-care. I have water with me. I drink a lot of water. I play music, you know, throughout the day. I use essential oils. Again, I just try to keep my, I try to do it this way. I try to think about it this way. It's not about getting through the week so I could have a weekend. You know that, you know how people say, I hope you have a restorative weekend. It's like, I don't want to be so depleted all week that my weekend is just for me to restore. You know what I mean? So I try to give myself little breaks and conserve my energy throughout the day.
I was taking notes. I was like, oh, okay, good. And that's a unique answer for the show, by the way.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I am personally appreciative of it. And I know that there's some people who have been liberated by hearing it, or who will be, because it is a different way of being, right? Not necessarily, I'm going to go crazy and then I'll be punished. But like, well, what happens if instead of doing that, you're smarter throughout the day? So at the end, you still have some reserves.
Yeah.
And even reserves doesn't feel like the right word. But you still have energy to do, you know, what it is that you want to do. And not to mention, you also spoke about waking up early. So that's a whole nother thing.
You know, I'll add one more if I can, because I'm pretty gangsta about this. I just had a conversation with my colleague about it. I am so particular about my calendar. Like, you cannot put a meeting on my calendar right after another meeting ends. And I know that may sound very like simple, like what? But I am really, really insistent on not having back-to-back meetings. And so when you talk about energy throughout the day, Mike, if I have a meeting that ends at 1, I literally put a block on my calendar so that no one can put anything on it until at least 1:30.
That's awesome.
Or sometimes I will schedule meetings 15 minutes after the hour because I need the break, and whoever I'm meeting with, they need the break.
Yes. Now, did you do that in person as well?
I did.
Okay. I was really curious about that, because I know Zoom from a Zoom perspective, or
right.
You know, whatever video conference platform you're using.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I get it. I get the fatigue. I'm like, I'm staring at this dot. I'm like, I did not know it took so much energy to stare at a dot. This is torture.
Is this something? Oh, yes. I was adding about that. And another thing, maybe for your listeners too, when we get back into, you know, working in an office space, this may sound silly, but this is so real. I don't have meetings in the bathroom. You ever go into the bathroom and someone wants to like talk to you about work? It's like, no. So
no bathroom meetings.
No, I know you love music, you know, no meeting in the ladies' room. Do you remember that old Climax tune? Meeting in the ladies' room? Oh, yes.
Now I'm going to have to put that in the show notes.
Yeah, 80s.
I'm going to have to put that in the show notes. No, that's a great one. You have me also thinking about Charlie Gilkey and some of the work that he does with his book that's called Start Finishing. And he talks about blocks, kind of time blocking, really around energy, though. Like, there's these energy blocks, and you don't mix. Mm-hmm. You don't do a high energy thing. And like, you don't do two of those in a row.
Right.
You know, you put some admin stuff in between. You put some recovery stuff here and there. And then you get back to your focus block. So,
yes.
Yeah, that's really good. So I'm going to transition a little bit here.
Sure.
And ask you about how has or did your project positively impact the way you showed up at your day job?
Yeah, that's juicy. It has helped me so much, because what I learned about coaching, and the particular coaching program that I went through, it's not about coaching as something you do. It's really coaching is who you are, right? So being a coach is a part of my everyday, how I show up. So what does that mean? It means that when I think about offering coaching to a client, it's about, you know, being mindful, right? Being supportive, being compassionate, helping them to kind of hear themselves so they hear their own wisdom. And so it's helped me, to your question, Mike, positively impact how I show up at work, because I'm finding myself having coaching-like conversations with my colleagues, right? Particularly colleagues who are new to the profession and who are junior and who are looking for guidance. So rather than like, you know, just telling them what to do, I find myself having coaching conversations. So they're learning from themselves, right? They're hearing themselves. And so it's a way for me to really share, you know, how I am of service with clients, with my colleagues.
Thank you for that. Speaking of learning, mm-hmm. What have you learned along your journey with your project mm-hmm. that you think someone who's on the fence of starting their yeah. own needs to hear? And I haven't found a great way to articulate this question. Mm. At the end of the day, what I'm saying, what I'm trying to get at is this. Mm-hmm. There is a piece of advice. There's something that you have learned. Yeah. Right? There's a piece of advice that you mm-hmm. you can give someone now that you could not have given at the beginning of your journey. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get at that. What are the mm-hmm. things that you want to share with someone? Mm-hmm. The hard-earned lessons.
Right. Yeah, because I love that. And I hear what you're getting at, because this is making me think about, like, what would I tell myself, you know, 20 years ago as I started and stopped? And, you know, like you asked me before, what did I need to get over the hump, right? So what did I learn? You know, it makes me think about this. I'm going to be a bit visual for a minute. If you think about like a slinky or a spiral, you know, like something that goes around and around, that to me is what I've learned. It's like the process goes around and around, and yet, you know, it slowly does go upward, as opposed to just a circle that just feels like it's going around and around and going nowhere, you know? And so all of the steps that I've taken, the lessons that I've learned, Mike, have been keep going, you know, keep stay in motion. And sometimes it may feel like I'm just going around in a circle. I'm not actually getting anywhere. When I look back, I'm like, wow, you know, those circles or those steps that I took really did show progress. It really did get me to the next. And the next lesson that really sticks out for me is to look for grace, and expect it. So look for that unexpected email that says, hey, you know, can you join me for this session? I need a facilitator to do a team building session. Like, wow, I didn't know this person remembered that I do that kind of work. You know, look for grace for, you know, when there may be some other opportunity or some other supports. That to me has been my biggest lesson, to just keep going, recognize that what may feel circular is actually going upward, and keep looking for those moments of opportunity and grace.
Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. My second to last question for you here, at least planned question.
Yes.
Is, are there any particular books or other resources that you found helpful along your project journey? And if you mm-hmm. wouldn't mind sharing one to three of those books or resources with us.
Sure. Yeah. Wow. So many. One that comes to mind is Project Management, the Project Management Guru, David Allen, Getting Things Done. That helped me tremendously. Pamela Slim, her work, Where We Met, yeah. Not only the book, Body of Work, but the conference that I attended, Body of Work, Finding a Thread That Ties Your Story Together. And then it's the social media activism or wisdom, I'll say, by Desiree Adderley, right? Her posts, Lovey Ajayi Jones, who has written books as well. And yet really it's following people who I see on Instagram or other social media outlets that are just so consistent, you know, and just drop so many jewels along the way that sometimes you just need that snippet when you can't actually get through a full book. So those are some of the resources.
Thank you for that. The last question I'll ask you mm-hmm. is, how can the people get in touch with you? Where would you like to point them to?
Thank you. I'm a little slow on the socials. So I will say, please go to my website, innervisionscoaching.com, innervisionscoaching. And yes, I named my business after Stevie Wonder. That's a whole nother conversation, Mike. the great album InnerVision. So innervisionscoaching.com, and click on schedule a call, because I think even more important than like finding me and reading what I may post or write is let's have a conversation. So go to the website, click schedule a call, and we can have a, you know, just have a conversation and see, you know, what may be in store for a coaching opportunity.
Excellent. Kim Monique, I appreciate you taking the time to be our guest today. It was a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. Pleasure for me. So excited to have this conversation with you. Thank you, Megan. Thank you for showing up the way you do and for your offers to the world. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
I hope you enjoyed that episode and found tremendous value in it. If so, don't keep it a secret. Tell a friend to tell a friend, and don't forget to follow us on Instagram, our handle, No More Reasonable Doubt. Every so often, I create a free resource to help you take your purpose or passion from a dream to an actual project. You can always find that resource at nomorereasonabledoubt.com/free-gift. This is Mike Ambassador Bruni for No More Reasonable Doubt. Remember, some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. It's on you.